Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 115 for the Mighty Mighty Heroes Asylum, of course. My name is Mike.
Mighty Mighty Heroes Asylum.
And, of course, there is Kane talking over me again.
I just do that because I like to piss you off sometimes. Keep me in line, sir. Like, you keep me in line. Exactly. So
how are you doing today, man? How's your weekend been?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing good, man. I'm recovered. Got my first shot. So I got upgraded on Thursday, and hopefully get my second one here shortly, and I will be able to go back out to public and, like, strange, you know, handles and things.
You're able to touch strange things in public.
Exactly.
I haven't had my shot yet, but I'm probably gonna make the appointment next couple weeks just to be safe. There's other, you know, opinions I've had, but I think just rather be safe than sorry. So
yeah, I figure I've already had it, and I'll figure, you know, get the shot. So I wanted to get my tracker installed so I knew where I was going, so that way if anybody asked what I did, yeah, I can just tell them to go look on the website.
Yeah, you know where I'm at. Yeah. I'm home.
Trust me, my life is not that exciting. If somebody wants to track me, knock yourself out.
Yeah, well, my life is not exactly, you know, a bag of fun. So
let's not say that. I hear that you have finally found the final piece to something you have been looking for.
I'll tell you, I was so giddy, and I guess to repeat the story, Mike was out earlier today, and he went to GameStop, which, you know, I knew GameStop. Of course, if you have a GameStop, they sell video games and all that stuff, T-shirts and action figures. I've been looking for a McFarlane Wonder Woman part of the Build-A-Figure series for Bane, and it's been months. I literally collected the first three really fast, which was Orion, I believe. Straight Jacket Batman and the weird looking Scarecrow. I got those three right off the bat, so I was good. So I figured only a matter of time before I find Wonder Woman, right? Wrong. Not in Target, not Walmart. Go online, sold out. Go to eBay, price gouging up to $70. $70. So anyway, I took the advice of my friend over here, and I was like, you know what? Let me go check GameStop. But I didn't check the Oviedo GameStop. I went down the road a little further to a little town called Winter Springs. There's a little GameStop in there. Pretty big, though. Walk in, look around. Okay, so nobody in this shop, just the attending lady over there. I see the McFarlane figures. I go, oh, there's Gorilla Grodd. There's Green Lantern. I'm like, let me look down. I go, wait a minute. I have Orion. Oh, wait a minute. I have Straight Jacket Batman. Wait a minute. What, Scarecrow? And then it happened. The light shined, the last Wonder Woman Build-A-Figure. Found the Holy Grail, and I snatched that up along with Unmasked Thomas Wayne, which I didn't even know about. So it was a 2-for-1, got a cool $5 shirt. So yes, success.
Yeah. Successful. Well, that's like when I went in, I just happened to go in because I saw they had a poster about the Black Series. And for Star Wars, I've been thinking, you know, there's certain ones I kind of like. And I've also become privy to Pop Funko Pops have come out, and I sent you the one of Vader, but Funko Pops came out with the Ralph McQuarrie drawings that they
really
had.
Good,
yeah, the concept really drawings good. Yeah, the concept drawings for, you know, for Star Wars, Ralph McQuarrie did. Well, they did a series, actually. I discovered there's a series of the original Yoda where he was like long haired, and the original C-3PO, the original R2, and there's one with the original Chewie. So I was like, I found a 4-pack set online for like $40, which $44, which I'm honestly, that's not that bad for four. That's, you're talking like $11 for pops. That's cheap for pops.
Yeah, it's just cheap.
And especially those, but I really just kind of, I was more interested in the Yoda and the Vader one, and the other two, I was like, yeah, it'd be kind of cool. The R2 I wasn't really into, the C-3PO I kind of liked, because I remember that story that Anthony Daniels told about the first time he saw, you know, C-3PO with the Ralph McQuarrie, where he's like, oh, come be with me. And so it's kind of those kind of iconic ones. So I really was like, hey, maybe I just get the three. And I thought, well, let me check GameStop, because I know they have a pop wall. our friend Cindy, you know, we always like to stop out, you know, when we, if we, you know, we hang out like during the day or something, we'll pop into GameStop because she's just as heavy of a geek as we are, as much as she tries to, you know, hide it.
Yeah.
But because she's got the full collection of all this, the Star Wars for the Pops. So, you know, I went in there and of course they didn't have it. And I'm just, oh, it's like, oh, look, oh, they've got the dark, you know, the McFarlane series, and I've picked up all of the White Knight series. I picked up the fact you're obviously, oh no, you're not wearing the shirt, sorry, but I picked up the Red Sun Superman, and I'm always out looking for like one that might catch my attention. And when I walked in, I saw that they had the Jokerized Nightwing, which I had never seen before. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then that's when I sent you the picture, and you were like, well, what about Wonder Woman? You got to realize, I always look whenever I hear you're looking for something. When in my search, you're second in line. Okay, is anything here? No, not. So, but yeah, that's what got me to pop into GameStop was, you know, the Black series, and then looking for that Ralph McQuarrie Vader.
Well, it's got to put that on the list, but this is not a free like publicity effort, GameStop, but maybe kind of is. If you're looking for McFarlane figures, check them out, because the one I went to had literally an entire section devoted to McFarlane figures.
Yeah.
Like the one in Oviedo doesn't have it, has like a small little stand. This one was like literally.
Oh, yeah. See, the one I went to, this one was like peppered throughout the store. You saw three figures here, you saw six here. Then I think the Nightwing one was over by the t-shirt rack all by itself with one other. I think the evil Wonder Woman, the black,
the drowned.
Yeah, the drowned. Right? Yeah, the drowned, yeah. Mm-hmm. Over there by, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But yeah, it was up between the Nightwing and the Scarecrow, because I still love the look of the Scarecrow.
Yeah, I haven't opened him yet, but I'm gonna open him tonight. Yeah. He looks so. I don't know who designed that look. I don't know if it's just basically off like Capullo did it, right? For that's last night.
Yeah, that was Capullo. Yeah.
Capullo did it. That's right. But what a weird looking Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Even he has that weird bubble on. I'm gonna take that off tonight when I build Bane. And
well, that's why I kind of was like, I was like, if I buy the Scarecrow, I gotta get the rest. I know it.
That's
I'm like, not yet. Let me pick up this cool one off. Nightwing one that's kind of by itself. I know it goes along with the Robins. Like I would have to probably pick up, you know, King Robin and or the Robin King and, you know, and a couple of the other Jokerized Robins. But right now
Did you see the Damian Wayne at all? Because I saw Damian Wayne Robin, which I was thinking about picking up also.
No, because then if I saw that, I probably would have picked it up with the Nightwing. But
because if I'm going to get King Robin, he's part of another the next line of the Build a Figures.
Yeah.
Build the Dark Father, which. Kind of an odd choice, but whatever.
So all the ones I've gotten are not build or anything, especially like the White Knight one would have had, like, because I mean that was a whole series. They could have had a one off.
Yeah, but who do you build, Azrael?
Oh well, no, because Azrael was one of the characters. There's really only four. There's Joker, Batman, Azrael, the two Azraels. So yeah, I don't know who they could have done. They could have done maybe Nightwing, because Nightwing had his own kind of vibe, but I don't know.
Yeah, but there's no, like, so far I've read that story halfway through, and to me, like, the only person who's sticking out is Joker so far.
So far,
like,
yeah.
To me, his...
Oh, you know they could have built Harley Quinn, because I don't think Harley Quinn's out. I don't think I've seen a Harley Quinn for that series.
No, I think they're saving the Harley Quinn for the summer when the Suicide Squad movie comes out.
Right. Well, there's different versions of them out there. Like they could have done the White Knight Harley Quinn because she's a little different.
They could have done that one. Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, they could have, or you know, or like I said, Nightwing.
Or Jim isn't Jim? Well, Jim Gordon's in this too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, but again, I'm not going to say anything. You got to keep watching.
I know. I'm at the midway part.
Or reading, not watching. Yeah, dude, you're only on the first book. There's the Curse of the White Knight, which is the follow up, and that's where Azrael comes in.
Oh, I haven't gotten there.
Yeah, yet. No, yeah, you got to continue reading. Yeah, so
I'll keep reading.
But we'll go ahead and start the news, guys. I know Kane and I, we don't get a chance to really talk about like that. We are collectors. We love collecting. I've got a bookshelf. I couldn't tell you. Maybe as sad as it sounds, now that I'm saying it, I probably have 30 pops. You know, on the bookshelf, and I'm looking at
it. I literally have a trunk full of McFarlane figures and other figures. Yeah. Like there are at least 150 in there, and I have my Batcave, which I a custom built that I built. Maybe I'll take pictures and I'll put it on the site.
Yeah. Maybe one day soon we'll be able to lay everything out in a nice setup.
it's going to be a nice little setup when it all comes together. It's like when a plan comes together, guys.
Yeah. So, but we'll, but we're gonna go ahead and jump into the news for you guys, so you guys can see this. Actually, what we're gonna start off with is last week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I think Monday. It dropped the new Venom, which like came out with like no fanfare. Like it just was like there. Like I didn't see any news come out. I didn't see any. Any, you know, like usually
it's just,
like
it's just dropped.
Yeah. Like I know we're getting, you know, we're getting news about tonight, you know, later. Oh, well, tonight is Sunday, but later we're going to, you know, the Snake Eyes trailer supposed to drop. Like we didn't get that kind of thing. Like we normally do. It's kind of weird. It was like, hey, here it is, guys.
Yeah.
So, so what we're going to do right now, we're going to go ahead and watch the trailer for Venom Carnage.
Carnage. There will be carnage.
There will be carnage.
This is an interesting way to open up.
I say either, I say neither.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. About,
okay, but before you go on, let me say this. I'm not a fan of the funny Venom voice.
No.
It's just, to me, you're kind of taking away everything Venom was. Mm-hmm. You kind of neutered him in this first scene.
The first scene, like, yeah, that's why. Yeah, the Venom voice I'm okay with. It's what he's doing that I'm not okay with.
What he's
doing. Yeah,
he's acting goofy. That's,
yeah, that, yeah. And that's what I was afraid of when I was like, okay, they're going to have a success.
I was scared because they're trying to humanize him, I guess. That's their plan. And I get that, but you could still humanize him without making him silly. Now you're making, see, the way I'm thinking it's going to go now, and I'm kind of afraid, is they're going to make Carnage more terrifying and make Venom like a very silly type of.
Well, I mean, Carnage has to be terrifying. That's of course, it. Yeah, because of who he is and who he links himself with. But Venom should not be Venom. I still think Eddie should be having to like. I know there's a note on the wall that says, you know, don't eat people. But I think there should be more of him trying to control him. But he's still
Inner monologue too, like more inner struggle with the Venom symbiote. Like
this is the trailer, so I don't expect. I don't expect introspective into what the character is. I understand what they're doing right now. They're just giving you a taste, but to start it off a little silly, I don't know. I'm not a fan. Yeah. But again, Venom was not Venom from the movies. It wasn't Venom from the comic books either. And that's, you know, I have a lot of friends that are loved the first Venom. And I was like, I like it. But again, I guess that's one of the, the baggages, the things we have to bear as these comic book fans that have been around for a long time enjoying these show or reading these books is we come with the baggage of knowing what these things and these people were and these storylines were. And now we're getting sort of, you know, the watered down commercial version of it. And
yeah.
And again, I joke about it. I always call them the sheep, you know, but the regular folks out there, the normies, they eat it up because it's got that fun sci-fi or that's fun comic book feel to it, but it's something they can swallow into a pill. I don't know if most normies could handle the regular.
I don't think so. Yeah. It's a totally different vibe. But like you said, it made money and you know, you're going to go a certain route when you're making a movie.
And when the second one comes around, guess who steps in? Mustache twirling villains.
Mustache twirling villains.
You know what you need to add? Yeah. Okay. Well, guess what, man? We did great with the first one without your help. Why don't you step back? But
you know what you need? You need a bottle of Pepsi. Yeah. Put some Pepsi in there. Well, for what?
So here we go.
Neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. Ta-da! Catch up.
Excuse me.
Yummy.
Good evening, Eddie.
Hey, Mrs. Chen.
Good evening, Venom.
Bunsen Hall, Mrs. Chen.
He says hi. One is
the lonely. And again, that there too, that kind of, like she's like, she knows Venom.
Yeah, it's just.
It's like, really? Let's see.
I've been thinking about you, Eddie. Because you and I are the same. Every decision we ever make, who do we leave behind? And how do we leave them?
waiting in the darkness for the rescuer who never comes. Welcome back, Eddie Brock.
I like that little shout out to Spider-Man lore with Ravencroft there.
Well, Ravencroft's been in a lot of things. Yeah, most people forget Ravencroft was also in the New Mutants. So yeah, you'll see Ravencroft's been in a lot of MCU already if you watch it.
Yeah, guys, if you don't know what Ravencroft is, quick little thing, it's basically their form of Arkham Asylum. Yeah. That's the easiest way to say it. Thank God they changed Woody Harrelson's hair.
Yeah, they tamed it back.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going a different route.
Soon come chaos. Chaos soon come.
The chocolate delivery hasn't arrived yet.
No!
We had a deal.
What's gonna happen? You gonna stop protecting me?
I am happy to eat, Mrs. Chen!
No, no, you cannot eat, Mrs. Chen.
What?
Nothing.
Sorry for the choppiness there.
No, it's okay. I was saying that's the money shot right there. It's the quick version you get for the full Carnage, which it looks great.
Yeah. And it's great to see that that Mickey Knox is back. I mean, I always wonder what happened to him after Natural Born Killers. So now I see. That's basically who Woody's playing. I mean, when you hear the voice.
So Mickey went to jail for all those years, changed his name to Cletus.
Yep. Yeah,
and then he becomes. Well,
his middle name's Cletus. That's Mickey Cletus Knox. That's really.
See, I totally forgot about that. There you go. You have a direct tie in the Natural.
Exactly.
Born
Yeah, yeah. Never. Oliver Stone does it again.
Has he done anything lately?
I can't remember.
I haven't heard from Oliver Stone in a long time.
So, but yeah, they're continuing the route that they did in Venom, which I like that. They're continuing with that. There was a science, you know, this corporation trying to mess with Venom, you know, and mess with the symbiotes. And so that's, you know, I kind of see that route when they do try to do the injection on them.
I didn't think a world full of symbiotes would work, but the way they've done it, you know, obviously to the normies out there, it's worked. Yeah. And I like the first Venom. I mean, I'm going to have opinions, of course, because. And so are you, because we know a lot more of the lore that happens in Venom, and we know like what it truly means to have a symbiote inside of it, but or inside of the character itself. But you know, for what this is, it's not bad. Like I want to see it now. Does it blow me away? No, but it'll get me into theaters.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely will. I guess the one thing I feel that the regular folks that are just watching it from that perspective, they're missing the Spider-Man connection. You know, because there were some great stories between the tension and the conflict between Spider-Man and Venom. And then it wasn't that Venom was like, you know, trying to escape. He learned his humanity by battling Peter Parker and by battling Spider-Man. And that's how he became softer and became, you know, more understanding of the human race. And I think that's what's kind of – and that's what I missed – in it, and I understand it can survive without Spider-Man, that because it has, and it, you know, and they're growing. I feel like that some of those stories are really, really important and could be.
I really wonder if going forward, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but if going forward with like, because they exist in the same universe, that's known. We know that now.
No, from what I read a couple weeks ago.
Do.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to find that article. Trailer.
Yeah, check it out, because they said they're in the same universe. I wonder if that happens, because eventually he's going to have to run into the symbiote. That's a big Spider-Man storyline. You just can't leave alone. But I wonder if that does happen and you have an established Eddie Brock who's out there. And let's say he goes to New York and maybe like another, I don't know, maybe some other symbiote latches onto Peter and he becomes like all massively evil. If it's actually going to be Eddie Brock, who's going to talk to Peter Parker about his humanity since he's had the Venom symbiote inside of him for a while. I wonder if it's Peter who goes crazy I mean, I just thought about that, like just flipping the story, like where you had it with Eddie and his humanity and Peter and all that. And actually it was Peter, hey, Eddie, you know, get it off you. If Eddie is going to be that guy for Peter now.
Could possibly be.
It's a different take. And like when you first said that, that's the first thing popped in my mind. I was like, ooh, they could just flip it. Like, you know, Eddie's established, and then, you know, Peter takes on the symbiote, and then he goes all nuts. And it's Eddie who has to talk him out of it. I don't know. They could do something. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but
it's be a different I mean, pick. If they are in the same universe, they said they are, but with a twist. So, never mind. I don't want to talk about that. That was from
a
the
twist.
that was from the website that we don't talk about.
Oh, okay.
The one way they could connect it and kind of bring folks around is if they do Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion? Yeah.
And have Venom and Eddie Brock go in there, and then something happens to Eddie to where Venom has to connect himself to Peter. You know?
That's even, yeah.
You know, now he's already got the connection to the humanity because of Eddie, and now he's lost his host, and now he's out for vengeance, and he gets connected with Peter, and now they have to battle that out, that Venom wants blood. You know, he wants that revenge blood, but Peter's like, no, we have to, we don't kill, we don't. And they have that inner conflict. I mean, that would be a fun route to go. Like I said,
that's another good route you could use too. That's another good one. I mean, like I said, either or is a possibility. I mean, I don't know, down the line, maybe Secret Wars, another option if they want to do that, but that might take too long. But I don't know. There's a lot of ways they can do it and tie it in together. That's just a couple of possibilities that just popped in my head.
Definitely. So what do you have for any news? You got anything new that came out? I know it's been a kind of a slow week. So
it's new. But you know what I do have? I do have our first set images or first images of Netflix's Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Revelation from Kevin Smith. We finally got an air date of July 26th. And I am pulling up the images right now.
Yeah, I've got them right in front of me. Yeah, because that was probably one of the ones I have.
I got to say, coming from the old series to this new series, first off, the animation looks dope.
Yeah.
Looks incredible. I love it. Because they're moving forward with the story. It kind of reminds me of that Masters of the Universe TV show I was telling you about.
A little.
Very similar to those images. The only question I have is the final image. I'm not sure if you've seen it. And I'm not sure which order it has. There's an image of Eva Lyn. It looks like Tila. Some dark skinned girl. A guy in the back looks like he's Darkwing Duck, but with a robot. And an Orko.
Yeah, Orko with evil eyes. Yeah, I see. I look at that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to portray Orko not as the clumsy.
He looks very sinister, that pig, man.
What I mean. Maybe he will be not evil, but maybe he'll just be mad. Maybe it's not so much, you know, evil, just mad, and he's not this bumbling oaf, you know, that we don't need anymore. We don't need that.
So he's like a dark sorcerer now?
Yeah.
Dark sorcerer Orko?
Yeah. I'm just floored with the voice cast. You have Chris Wood as He-Man, Mark Hamill as Skeletor, Lena Headey as Evil Lyn, Sarah Michelle Gellar as Tila, Henry freaking Rollins as Triclops, Phil Lamar as Hero, Kevin Michael Richardson's as Beastman, Kevin Conroy as Merman. I mean, you want to talk about a who's who for voice acting? And I mean, just blows my mind.
Those guys ain't cheap. Nope. I'm just going to say those guys are not cheap.
None of those guys are cheap, and they're all good. I mean, you're throwing Kevin Conroy in as Merman.
As Merman?
Yeah.
That's like the weirdest part. Like, out of all the characters he's going to play, Merman. I wonder if Merman's going to have a big arc now. Just because Kevin Conroy is there.
And Hamill as a Skeletor. I mean, I can't wait to hear his take
on
Skeletor. Because I've heard him do evil characters before. I mean, yes, you know, the Joker's, you know, the big one, but you look at his credits, and he's had a long list of some pretty evil characters, and I can't wait to hear his take on what he does.
I just hope it's not Joker.
What I was saying. It's not. He's got a long list of characters that he's done that are evil, and they don't. None of them sound like the Joker.
Okay, that's what I was worried about. Don't make it.
No, look at his credits. You'll be like, oh, I shit.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to have a tone to it, but it's not going to be Joker. You know, if you're having Kevin Smith involved in this, you know he's coming up to Mark going, "Hey, dude, let's amp it up a little bit." And you got to realize the Joker voice was done. You know, we're talking almost 30 years ago. You know, I hate to hurt people's feelings, but so you're talking about a man 30 years younger doing Joker. His voice, his timbre, his wear and tear on his throat is going to be different. So you're not going to get the same voice either, you know, because again, it's 30 years different. So
it looks good. It looks good. Like I said, the first part, I guess it's Revelations part one, July 26th, no announcement on part two, but
I'm sure they're probably going to do something like they did with Transformers.
I think it's going to be exactly that's what's going to happen.
And now I'm crossing my fingers. They've conquered Transformers, or are almost done with Transformers. They got I think the third of the series comes out this summer as well.
I haven't seen the second one yet. I got to jump on.
Yeah, you got to watch that. You'll grumble. I know I'll get the look in the face when you get to the very last 30 seconds of it. Because of where it ends, but I like how it ends. It connects the two universes together beautifully, I think. You last 30 seconds, you get introduced to the Beast or characters. Say, there's the face I was talking about, folks. But it the way they merge them in together was beautiful. I was like, oh, okay. It was perfect. I was like, okay, that's cool how they did it. That way there's not like this weird hiccup from like the series that they had, you know, from the G1 to that. But I'm crossing my fingers. If they're doing these, you know, these 80s revivals, I'd love to see them try to do a new G.I. Joe. Thundercats. I know Thundercats has been attempted. G.I. Joe's had some really great ones.
The Thundercats one wasn't that bad. It was only out for one season, which is a tragedy. They were going somewhere with that. I mean,
but you look at like G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe's had Revelations. It's had Renegade. I mean, those were some really cool takes on it. I think Renegade was like a small mini series, but it was a really cool one. Then there was a short-lived G.I. Joe series, and that one really delved truly into the real mythology of, you know, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow and the clan. Speaking of which, yeah, tonight you were saying it's after or during the, or not tonight, but by the time you guys hear this, yeah, it'll probably be it'll be on the, what'd you say, the
MTV Music Awards. Yeah, if anybody still watches that.
Yeah, that's what I was like, who? So, yeah, so it looks like, you know, new images will be revealed for the Ninja Action, live action, G.I. Joe, or Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins, which makes me feel, are they going to try to start doing some new ones, like other origin stories, which I think will be kind of cool.
So what, just do all origins and then actually make a team-up G.I. Joe movie?
Probably. Well, I mean, you're going to have Scarlet. You're going to definitely have Baroness in this, Storm Shadow, obviously. I don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, this is a great place to start because when you really think of the timeline of G.I. Joe, I know they're not following the comic book that well. Well, I don't know because I haven't seen the movie, but from what I can see, I don't think they're really following the comic book that close. But when in the timeline of G.I. Joe, this happened first, really, other than the fact that Stalker and Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow were all members of a unit together, and that's where he lost his voice. But obviously, it doesn't look like he's lost his voice yet. I know you and I had this talk a couple of days ago about it. It is an origin story. It says it in the title. So, yes, I understand. We see his face. We hear his voice. We see a picture of the mask in the poster. He'll have to wear the mask because of, you know, the damage that's going to get done. And maybe at that point he'll lose his voice at the same time by the end of the movie. That's why I hope, being an old school purist, I'm sure it's probably not all going to happen.
And would you say as a G.I. Joe enthusiast, I mean, I am as well, but you're probably a little bit more than I am. Would you say this is the right way to go with a Snake Eyes movie first, then bleed out to the rest of the characters?
Yeah, because he's the Wolverine. You know, he's the badass of the group. You know, he's not the blue eyed. Well, he was in the comic books. He was the blue eyed, blonde haired, you know, regular American guy. Mm. But, you know, after he got hurt, it became Duke. Well, you don't want to see the origin of Duke. Another, you know, again, it's, you know, white men are not good for movies and TV shows anymore. not to be bashing on it, but really anybody, you know, white with a penis, nobody wants to see it, or nobody's putting it into the, you know, into the theaters anymore, really, which I understand. No. You want, you know, diversity. You want different flavors to it, but you also don't want to forget that person either. You don't want to forget that group, also. You know, but again, I've never been a fan of that group either. But it's good to have that they're in there. But yeah, no, Snake Eyes, I think, would be the perfect route to go because again, he was the origin of, you know, one of the most important characters. He does link a lot of people together. Like I said, the original.
Yeah, probably one of the most popular characters, would you say? Like you said, Wolverine.
He's the Wolverine of G.I. Okay. Joe. Yeah. So yeah, that's why when I use that reference, anytime I use that reference, I'm referring, he's the Batman. He's the Batman of that universe. Okay. Let's put it to language you would have to say. Let's put it to a language you would easily understand.
A major blood movie. So.
That would be fun, actually. Oh, God. Major Blood. Him spouting off bad poetry in some coffee shop. Oh. I'd love to see what they would do. Honestly, the other person I think that would have a great history, and they sort of touched on it in the other G.I. Joe movies, was Destro. You know, Destro's family history.
Yeah, his family history. They did a little bit of it in that.
The first movie, they kind of explained a little bit about the mask and stuff like that.
Which I'm not a hater of that first movie. I just don't like some of the things they did, especially with Cobra Commander. I thought that was weak.
Yeah, having him cop out. Yeah, it was. Yeah. But, well, again, you got to realize the true origin of Cobra Commander is he was a down and out Amway salesman, and basically what happened is his brother was a drunk driver and got killed in an accident. He actually killed Snake Eyes' family. That's where the connection between those two come into play, and he feels that it was Snake Eyes' family's fault that his brother died. But when the police reports all came out, was that no, his brother was a full blown, you know, alcoholic and drunk and ran into the other side of the road, and that's where he started becoming. That's where he went after Snake Eyes, and that's when he went to the clan, and the Grandmaster got killed, and yeah, just, you know, there's a long history. So that's why I'm very curious what they're doing this story. They're having the Baroness in here already. So I wonder if that part of the story is going to be included, because it's very strange to have the Baroness in here and very strange to have Scarlet in here.
I wonder if they're going the route that Cobra and G.I. Joe already exist in this world.
They might, and this might be like kind of like a flashback movie.
Maybe. Yeah.
I could kind of see that.
I'm just thinking that, or maybe that it's the origin of Snake Eyes, but, you know, the Joes are still out there, and maybe at the end they recruit him. I don't know. There's a lot of things they could do, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's one of the many routes they can go to. This is a new territory. I mean, they're rebooting G.I. Joe, which, like I said, I did not hate the first one. The second one I thought was a little bit better. Not great, a little bit better, but it looks like they're diving into that lore, especially with Snake Eyes.
Well, and it looks like that they're taking cues from Bumblebee. I think they really saw what happened with Bumblebee, and they're taking cues from that. So we'll see.
Travis Knight was a guy who put, like, you know, he was a fan.
Yeah.
He even said it. If you remember that Comic-Con panel that he had, he was talking about, hey, man, I want to make it go back to what I love, which was the G1 stuff. And he incorporated a lot of the G1 stuff, and there was a lot of heart in that film, too. It wasn't all about robots. It was about Bumblebee, and somehow you made it into a new Transformers reboot movie without even knowing you did it. Yeah. So.
And of course, he threw in the perfect reference to the 86 movie.
Oh, yeah. You got the touch!
I felt so bad. I went to an early screening, and I wish you were there. I was there with our friend Cindy and our friend Steve-O, and like I said, we were there with an early viewing of it. And when that played, Cindy, me, and maybe five other people in the theater clapped. Like, it was such like a such an inside baseball kind of, like, you know, it was such a deep cut that I don't think a lot of folks like got it.
Mm.
So I thought it was kind of funny. I was like, oh man, nobody caught that.
Especially that song is legendary, man. Especially
so, gotta ask you. You're a fan. I know you are. And I know it's an honor of you know, kind of somebody that, you know, inspired us to start the podcast. But John Schnepp, it has been confirmed. Metalocalypse movie is coming to Adult Swim.
Can't wait. Schnepp is smiling up from the sky at us right now. I mean, just to see that movie getting made. I mean, There's a lot of movies. I think a couple other ones are going to be
going. They're doing Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And my favorite, and I can't wait for this, Venture Brothers.
That's going to be
weird. I love the Venture Brothers. Yeah, they're doing a Venture Brothers movie as well. And just so you know, soundtracks are coming for both of those, at least for Metalocalypse.
Oh, finally, somebody's been listening.
Yeah, so it looks like they will be having a soundtrack release for Venture Brothers, and of course, you know, they're going to have one for, you know, something from Deathlock again.
Oh my God! Of course, that whole soundtrack is going to be all Deathlock. I wonder if the Deathlock or Metalocalypse Batman would make an appearance in this movie.
I don't know. I saw your co-host for your wrestling show made a post on our page with the Batman video. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Like, awesome. So ridiculous, but I love it. But hey, I'm ecstatic, especially Metalocalypse. It's long overdue, and like I said, John Schnett must be smiling right now.
Yeah.
They're making it to a movie, but
all right,
it should be. Into this thing,
so what do you got next?
Hey, you know McFarlane released some new figures this week?
I have not heard about that.
Oh yeah, man, he released a couple of them that are actually of interest to me right now. But one particular one, it's a pre-order, is Dr. Fate.
Really?
Injustice version of Dr. Fate. That, and it's another version, it's an Injustice version of Flash. It's got a white suit. Which is, I don't remember that one,
I played Injustice. I don't remember Dr. Fate being like different.
You got to look at it. Because I don't think they have a full blown version of Dr. Fate out there figure wise.
No, they don't. Yeah, this will probably be the one. They do for the animated, the Justice League Unlimited back, you know, the 90s. They had one there. But
if you see this image, man, it looks amazing. It's just called Injustice Flash. It looks, he's all white. I don't know why he's all white, but whatever. It looks so cool. And especially since you and I are both big Dr. Fate sweaties.
Yeah.
I was thinking that maybe that might go on your list.
Now that I know about it, yeah, probably will.
So,
did you see the picture of Jensen?
Yeah, I did.
for the boys three?
Oh my God! Where's that beard coming from, man? That's ridiculous.
Well, he's.
Are they going like they found Soldier Boy in the ice or something? I wonder if they're going old Cap style.
Well, they may. Again, I'm not. That's reaching into a volume of The Boys I haven't read yet. But yeah, maybe that's the route they're going. But yeah, I was like when I first saw the picture, I was like, wait a second, who? Ooh. Well, I mean, Soldier Boy fought in World War II. He became a first super celebrity. Mainstay American culture and his emergence. So maybe they might kind of be going that direction.
Because they name dropped him in season two.
Yeah.
The organization from Vought. Yeah. Vought, the guy who runs Vought. He was like, yeah, well, Soldier Boy's out there somewhere, but they didn't say where.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's not like locked in ice. Maybe when they say, you know, he's somewhere, he might have gone the Yoda route and just found a cabin in the woods and just turned into a hermit or. I guess I can reference somebody earlier, you know, Snake Eyes. You know, he had a cabin in the woods, you know, that he just kind of vanished to.
Yeah. So, like I said, I mean, I want to see where they're going. You're one of the people who thinks that Boys should have ended after season two. But
mine. That's mine. That's one I brought up to you. I was like, hey, I think that season two is a good, nice ending to it.
But hey, they keep adding. There's more stories to be known. So it looks cool. He looks cool. But yeah, that's what I got there. And go for Jensen.
So what else you got?
I think I have one more here.
Because I got something special we're gonna do.
Here it is. Superman and Lois showrunner teases John Diggle is coming back to the Arrowverse. We all love John Diggle.
I'm going to put this out there. I don't count that as the Arrowverse. There is nothing to me that tells me that's Arrowverse other than actors.
It's just named as the Arrowverse, and I guess it's part of the Arrowverse, so I guess that's the way it's named. It just says that the showrunner, he's going to come back for the 12th episode of this season's Lois and Superman. He's going to be in The Flash, Supergirl Legends, and it just talks about the threat. Obviously, he's going to be doesn't say anything by Green Lantern, but it says he's going to be dealing with something that happened at the end of Arrow. And if you guys watch the end of Arrow, you know what happened. It was an explosion in a box. He opened it up, and it was green. And
let's see them go that route. I would love to see that. I said, yeah. So far, everything from the, I know it's only five episodes, but so far everything Lois and Clark just screams. This is outside of the Arrowverse. The feel of the show, the filming of the show, just everything tells me. I mean, I don't know how I would feel to see somebody come back from the Arrowverse and a guest star. I don't know if it just feel kind of weird.
I don't know neither, but it'll be interesting to find out. I mean, I like everything about Lois and Superman and Lois. It's totally different, mm-hmm. but yet still the same. It incorporates a lot of different versions of Superman in there, especially like the beginning pilot where you saw him wear the old style suit. Touch.
Yeah.
So they're cherry picking off Superman lore, which I like. Yeah. And you know, I'm not the biggest Superman guy in the world, but this show, and especially the background thread, which we don't know of. Is of this other Luther coming from another planet. Obviously, the multiverse, when the multiverses collided, he ended up there. But his experience with that other version of Superman, I want to see the flashbacks. I want to know what happened to that world.
Yeah,
especially that name tag, which I cannot find anywhere, that hell name tag.
You can't. Not yet. It'll come out eventually. Don't worry.
Okay.
Let it get out there for a little bit. I mean, it's...
But yeah, Diggle's going to be back, so look for him. Probably starting next month, I would say.
Awesome. Well, guys, we're going to do something a little different. It's been a slow week, and I've discovered TikTok as a 40-year-old man, and I have come across a few videos that I thought were fun because they were like – they called them Star Wars Bestie Questions. And I thought, what better than right here us to talk and do a little Star Wars? Sorry, get goosebumps when I watch it.
So again, you got theme music. I didn't know you had that. Nice.
So what we're going to do, Kane and I are going to ask a series of answer a series of questions. I have not let Kane see these yet. So
no, you have.
No, and I really have not tried to think about them. So that way, it's a little fresh for both of us. I mean, yeah, I wrote down the questions. I've seen them, but I really didn't try to think too hard about them. So the first question is, favorite trilogy?
The OG trilogy.
Original trilogy. Yeah. Okay.
Original trilogy, hands down. That's not even a question to me. It's not even a doubt.
Yeah.
OG trilogy.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I agree with you on that one. Favorite character?
The Emperor.
Emperor on all throughout the whole series,
Throughout the whole series, I think he was like the puppet master of literally six, kind of almost nine movies.
No, he was nine movies. It was.
Like he had like an incredible. Like you think of his arc through six movies.
Yeah,
incredible.
Well, really, the Star Wars saga itself, and all nine movies, really were his story.
Yeah, like especially his rise in the Republic. To where he came and to like the beginning of the Empire and then the way he was able to manipulate everything behind the scenes. I love that. I thought he was my favorite. Plus, he had so many great scenes with him, especially in the prequels. I mean, the prequels are not my favorites, but they have moments in there where you're like, wow, this is Star Wars. And he was part of those scenes. So definitely Emperor.
For me, Obi-Wan. Sorry, I just love Obi-Wan to death. Just the progression of where he becomes, how he gets there. I mean, going from, you know, a very old Padawan, but then to where he becomes, you know, this master, just like, you know, his master was.
Mm.
Favorite movie?
Empire, but a little bit below it is The Last Jedi.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of The Last Jedi.
Mine would be Revenge.
You like Revenge?
Yeah. My second kind of just below Empire, would be Revenge. I think both of my guys, I don't know if that says anything about me, but they both kind of end downer in a way.
Yeah, both depressing ends.
I probably don't have to ask the question, but I need to because it is on this list. Jedi or Sith?
Sith?
Mm. Very good. All right, Sith. Yeah. Now, I have something that somebody popped up.
What about
you? Jedi, of course. Okay. Somebody brought this to my attention. I thought it was kind of an interesting conversation I had on a chat board. They made the comment that Kylo, Ben Solo, was the chosen one.
I've heard that.
Because if you think about it, he's really the one that united them together. He's the one that brought balance. He's the only one in the full, all the saga, that did what Plagueis said that he could do.
Mm.
He could stop death. Yes, Palpatine extended age. He was plugged into a machine. Yes, he was able to absorb life. Somebody said the reason Kylo was able to absorb or learn how to give life was because he just saw Palpatine, take it away. So, but I thought that was kind of an interesting one. I was like, yeah, I mean, a lot of folks, really hate Ben.
No, I don't. I'm not a hater of Kylo Ren. I know a lot of people do. I kind of appreciate the character for what he is. You know, I didn't think he was whiny at all. I just thought he was immature, but not whiny.
And our other conversation was at the end of the Rise of Skywalker was. I told him, I was like, yeah, I think we were talking about it. And I was like, so what did you think? Did you think she should have said, Solo or Skywalker at the end? Should she have said Solo? Should she have said Palpatine? Yes, I know. We know she did say Skywalker, and everybody went, eh.
Yeah, I thought she should have said nothing.
Exactly. That's what I said. I told him that's exactly what I told him.
I wish she would have just said nothing.
She should have turned to the old lady and said, my name is Rey, and it went to black.
That's it. Yeah. Just Rey.
Yeah.
That's all you are. No Skywalker. It's terrible. Awful.
Or she could have said Solo, paid homage to.
Could.
Yeah.
Which would have made sense, to keep the Solo bloodline going, but hey.
Favorite lightsaber color?
I like the purple one by Mace Windu. Red is my favorite, but something about that purple one.
Well, it's one for a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
And did you know that is actually written on his lightsaber in
Day 6. I think when we did the prequel watch along, that we said that it's actually written it.
Mine is actually the yellow one for the guards, which Ahsoka eventually ends up with the yellow one. Because again, she would be my second favorite character between her and Obi-Wan. Those are the two. Favorite vehicle.
Can it be in space as well?
Oh, anything. It can be, anything.
The X-Wing.
X-Wing?
The X-Wing fighter, yeah.
All right.
Right next to that is the Millennium Falcon, but I love the X-Wing.
I'm a fan of the Y-Wing, but a Ghost is my second.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah. This is a tough one for you, okay? I know you got to bring your feels into this, okay? And you just got to take them out, dust them off, blow off the dust. Who's your favorite couple?
Han and Leia.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for me. I'm here joking about brushing off your feels. That is a tough one for me.
They had the best story.
They did.
I mean, I'm not where they ended up. I mean, I didn't like that, but the way it was building, especially in Empire, then in Jedi, and they were the best.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Poe and his one friend,
Finn.
The girl.
Oh, Rose.
No, not Rose. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean Finn. Poe and what's her name? The girl from Rise. I love their interaction. It reminded me of Han and Leia, but like she's like, nah, I know who you are. I know what you do. Like at the very, very, very end of it, everybody's celebrating. Everybody's hugging.
I wish they had more scenes with them. They like them together.
But that one scene of everybody's hugging and kissing, celebrating, and everything. And they see each other and he just kind of stops, gives her a look and like, does a little head bob. Okay, you want to go? And she's like, no.
No.
Favorite droids. Droid. Let's just go with one.
Favorite droid.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm still R2 all the way. Still? Although I do like BB-8 and I like Chopper, but it's R2, man.
Yeah. Chopper I'm a fan of, but God, what was the name? I can never remember. I'm always bad. K2SO.
J2SO?
Yeah, from Rogue One was right up there. Wasn't a fan of the one from Solo, Lando's girlfriend.
I hated that.
That
political freaking...
Everybody bitched about Jar Jar. I heard nobody complain about the stereotype of that droid. Because when you... She's playing a black woman. Plain and simple. And she's even got a booty the way the robot walked. I mean, it was just like, I was like, no, okay, did nobody learn from Jar Jar? Like, try not to do that. All right. Just I know you've already named a villain as your favorite character, but who would be your favorite villain? Let's take your favorite character out.
Mm.
And let's just go with your favorite villain. If, you know, obviously we already know, you know, Palpatine is your favorite character. Who would be your favorite villain?
Oh, man. I can't use Palpatine again.
Yeah.
For what they did with him after the prequels in the animated series, I would say Maul. Because I like the way they developed Maul. Like, he wasn't just a one-note death sliced in half. And, you know, they gave him substance in Rebels, and you actually saw him again in Solo at the end. I like Maul. I like where Maul went after that.
Me too. Yeah, that was going to be my answer. Yeah, the journey of Maul from this one-note kind of villain in the first one who made a major impact. I mean, he really, when you look at him, he was the Boba of the first movie. And it's not just the story arc, but the voice acting for him. Just drew a blank on the gentleman's name.
Sam Witwer, right?
Yeah, Sam Witwer. The anger, the brokenness that he portrays Savage. Yeah, sorry. I was right. I was questioning myself. When Savage finds him and like they do this like mini battle and just his constant like wanting to, he still feels like he has to prove himself to the Emperor.
Especially the Emperor, yeah.
You know, and he's constantly going. He's built these legs and he's just going and going and going. Even to the point where I think it was is it season 5 or 6 where he finally meets Palpatine and nice. And that's when like Palpatine like kills Visage and it's like that's when he realizes, you know, okay, wait, my master doesn't care for me anymore, you know. I think his story arc, when you have the folks that just watch the movies, they think he's a very small part, but when you look deeper into Clones and Rebels, like you said, you see this amazing sub story. Yeah. And Sam brought so much life and pain to the character. And if anybody ever wants
substance, man, like a lot of depth, just a lot of.
Well, anybody ever wants to watch, look it up on YouTube and you can find videos of him doing the voice. And I think the best one is it's him and Clancy Brown, because Clancy did the voice for Savage. And you could see the look on Clancy's face. He's done, couldn't tell you, unlimited numbers of, the voiceover work. And he's just watching him just like contort into Maul. When you watch Sam do it, he becomes Maul. It's very interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so my last question, and this is a what if question. Could Anakin Skywalker, before his fall, defeat Darth Vader?
Before his fall?
Yes. Before his fall.
Could he beat Vader?
Yes. Could he basically beat him, his future self?
No.
I say the same thing.
I think Vader would destroy him because Vader he's dealing with loss. Mm-hmm. Loss drives you. Yes. So does pain.
Yeah.
When you have that pain and loss as a motivating factor, you'll win.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's what, I was thinking the same thing. Yes. You know, the stories and everything that we hear about Anakin, and yes, he was one with the Force. He was stronger with the Force when he was a whole person. He lost a lot of his connection with the Force when he lost, limbs. But I think with the power and the anger, that comes with the dark side, Vader became more powerful than him. And I don't think Anakin would take those. I understand we're talking about the same person, but I don't think Anakin would do those things.
It's a logical question too, because, it's almost like the battle in the mind. Who's going to win? Is it going to be Vader or Anakin? I think Vader wins because, just like I just said, that pain that you have something that's like you, that makes you go on. And like, he didn't know what happened to Padme, right? And when he found out, he was in pain. And that's, and even in the comic books, it shows in a couple panels. I think he goes back to Naboo and he goes to Padme's grave. And it's like, that's still the inner conflict between Anakin and Vader. Uh-huh. Like, you could see there's a small smidge of Anakin in there, but more Vader.
Well, there's also a deleted scene that just recently came out that got reanimated, or that actually got animated, that was cut from the Clone Wars. And it's a scene between Anakin and Obi-Wan just after Ahsoka left the Order. And you can see the pain already there before losing Padme. You could see the broken heart, the distrust of the Jedi Council, the Jedi's period, and him and Obi-Wan having this conversation. He's like, what if they turned on me and I left and I failed you?
See, that's one of the things.
And Obi-Wan's like, oh, yeah, he asked Obi-Wan, look it up. Yeah, he asked Obi-Wan, he's like, what would you do if that happened? Wouldn't you feel less? And they're like, they're at a campsite, like on some planet, and you see Obi-Wan laying down, and just the camera goes right to his face, and he's like, I would feel that I let you down. It was like, well, it's a really, really deep scene. And I mean, I can get why they kind of sort of cut it out, because I think it was a little too deep for the show. And yes, they were still trying to keep it kid friendly.
Friendly, yeah.
You know, that was but it's when you see that scene, yeah, watch it, guys. I'll try to post it on our Facebook page. And it just really deep. I was like, man, why did they? Again, I understand why they cut it, but at the same time, I'm like, man.
Isn't it funny how a series like Clone Wars can turn the Anakin Skywalker character from what he was in the films to something with more depth, mm-hmm. almost like they did with Maul.
Yeah.
That's why I love Clone Wars so much. They take these characters that you freaking like, oh man, they like Anakin, he was so freaking whiny and everything, and you bring him over to Rebels, you get more time mm-hmm. to develop him, you see what it's like, and you can see that descent. With Anakin,
they peel the onion back, you know.
Yes,
really.
They peel the layers back, and then we talked about Maul. He's another guy which I love, because again, you peel the layers back. What is this guy made of? Oh, look, they killed his brother. Oh, he's got another thing on top of that. So just a lot of things that those especially animated series are able to do nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I you know, one of our, you know, my closest friends, Steve-O, you know, we've always had that conversation of. You know, he is a purist in movies, is all Star Wars. I think he's changed his tune now, but originally it was, he felt the anything outside of the movies was fan fiction, basically.
Which is a little silly.
It was silly. And in a way, it was fan fiction.
I get it, but it's a little.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it was fan fiction. It was Dave Filoni, who's the biggest fan. He was the biggest sweaty. The only difference between him and us. He sat at the altar of Lucas, was given the, you know, literally given the book about Star Wars, and was told the inner workings of every character. He was explained why in Empire did somebody do this from Lucas. So he had a much more in-depth thought process and understanding of these characters. And that's what, you know, I know Cindy and I always, you know, used to talk to our friend Steve about that. And we're like, no, you really need to get that, because you're missing a good 80% of these stories and of what these people really are. You know, the things you see of Obi-Wan are great, but you're going to miss that whole layer of him and finding out, you know, how he feels and why he feels the way he does in New Hope after failing Vader, and why he doesn't tell the true story to Luke. You know, that he talks about them being separate people. You know, Anakin was one person, Vader was somebody else, because that's who it was.
Because that's who it was to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew Anakin as his best friend.
His brother, yeah.
His brother. Like, they, like one of the best things they did about in Revenge of the Sith was they showed that what relationship, them as brothers. Like, they didn't have that in the first two movies. I get it, because he was still growing up. But you had that brotherhood. Like, you know, hey, remember when I saved you that one time? Oh, you know, and it's like that banter. They didn't have that until that last movie. And in Clone Wars, you get more of that because they're like, they're brothers. They're on the same level now. I mean, one of them is not technically a master, but, you know, which is silly in its own right. But they have that relationship that you need. And then when that fall finally happens, he's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because he's lost a family member. He's like, and that's why he said it to Luke, like, yeah, man, Darth Vader killed your father.
Yeah.
And in a way, he was right. from a certain point of view.
Exactly. It's always from a certain point of view.
So.
All right, guys. Well, that is everything that we have. I love these questionnaires. I'm going to try to find some more about some other.
We should do more of those.
Yeah, some other ones. It was kind of you. You brought this kind of up to my attention doing the questions at the end of your Low Blows and Chair Shots podcast, or the wrestling show you do. That you always have kind of like this. Hey, what's your favorite belt? What's your favorite match? And I kind of wanted to. It's kind of tough to go with that with the themes that we do. So I think I'm going to try to find one thing, who knows, maybe next week it'll be DC. Maybe it'll be Marvel. Maybe it'll be Battlestar Galactica. Who knows? Try to find some questionnaires. And if anybody has any ideas for questions or ideas, just shoot us a message over on Facebook and we'll be able to, I'll look it up and see what I can do to put them together. Don't forget this week for our Midnight Movies for Kane's other show. We are going to have Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka is coming out this week. Yep.
Yep. The original. Not the other one. We don't like to talk about the other one. So the original one with Gene Wilder. And so make sure you guys stop, get some candy, get some schnozberries. If you're like me, get some sugar-free candy. They're out there. And just watch.
It was actually one of the fun ones. I loved it. I think I spent most of the movie trashing the remake, but it's okay.
I was able to rein you in on this one. Not as bad as Batman. I was able to rein you in a little bit more. I was like, okay, let's come back.
But at least you joined. You were like, I hate the remake too.
I was not a fan, even though the remake was a little bit closer to the book, but still sometimes, being close to the book isn't always a good thing. And I do apologize for my fellow readers out there. Yeah, sometimes being just like the book isn't always great when it hits the big screen.
It's not always accurate. Yep, that is true.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out on Facebook. And like I said, we do have Kane's other two podcasts. If you guys look down at the bottom of the descriptions for our podcast, or if you're on YouTube or Facebook, you'll see the links down to the bottom for Midnight Movies. And once a week, we get wrestling reviews and news from Kane and a guest.
That's right, Kane and Guest. Check us out on our social media platforms as well, at the Heroes Asylum _podcast on Twitter, on Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Check out Low Blows and Chair Shots, also on Instagram, also on Twitter. And as always, from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. Have a good night.